Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, March 3rd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 82, the second paragraph. If we have no such complication, through one paragraph ending, would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Leland P., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Anne S.C.H., Luann C., and Robin P. The reference number for Sunday, March 2nd, is 22,213. That's 22213. And for this morning, Monday, March 3rd, the reference number for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,214. That's 22214. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Larry G., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Leland P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks. This is Leland P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I'm recovering one day at a time. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Least problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 82, the second paragraph. If we have no such complication, through one paragraph ending, would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Anne SCH to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Anne SCH in Vancouver, BC, Canada. Grateful to be alive today. I'm a compulsive overeater. If we have no such complication, there is plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But if he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents for whom for years he has so shockingly treated. Passing all understanding is the patient mother and wives who have had with alcoholics. Had this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. Now, in time, over time, attending meetings and things, I have heard people say that a paragraph is their favorite paragraph. I can't say this is my favorite paragraph, but it certainly has resonated with me over the times that I've read it, because it describes my life in so many different ways. And the best way in terms of my recovery to describe my recovery is that I was a dry drunk. I have that part of me, that ego part of me, didn't really do the steps, but I was abstinence. And like Harlan G. says that, abstinence is the on-ramp to the freeway, which is the freeway is the 12 steps, and that's on to life. That's our way of life. And for me, the part of this paragraph that resonates is the making good to the wife or parents. And I have multiple husbands and my parents. And when I was doing my first 12 steps, I wasn't doing them with a sponsor. I was doing it with another fellow, and we were working it together. It was in a face-to-face meeting. This is about 10 years ago. And God really granted me the grace to really just live in the first three steps. I had elderly parents who were in their 90s. I had done my amends to the best of what I knew at the time. And but I was a dry drunk. And for that reason, I'm just so happy that I have the recovery that I've really just discovered in the last 2 years in working the steps. Otherwise, I know I would have been dead long before now. And so that is why I'm grateful to be recovered and alive today. And I, with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, NSCH, for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ. I heard Karen KZ. I heard Melka S.
Marjorie C. in Virginia.
Marjorie C.
It's Audrey C. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did you hear Wendy B?
I did not. Audrey C. Wendy B. There we go.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Nancy L. Arizona.
Nancy L.
Amanda L.
Amanda L. Okay, let's stop there. I have Karen KZ, Melka S., Wendy B., Audrey C., Deborah G., Nancy L., Amanda L. What a fantastic lineup. We'll start with Karen KZ, and please let us know where you're calling from, followed by Melka S.
Hi, this is Karen KZ in Missouri, and I love this paragraph because at first I read it and I thought, well, I didn't have affairs or do any of that. But it says, if we have no such complication, there's plenty we should do at home. And the truth is, I have a long way from making good to my husband, whom for years I so shockingly treated. It's very painful for me to look back over how I acted. And yet, beating up on myself for how I was doesn't help me live in this present moment and be who God created me to be. That's over. I made amends. And I don't need to keep stirring it up, and because then I miss out on the love and the kindness and the way that I am treating my husband today. This program is about changing our behavior. And I also want to say, I didn't change my behavior. I invited God to change me. That was when the miracle happened for me. I invite God all the time to take me over, to think his thoughts, speak his words, act his actions. And he's doing that. But I have to keep inviting him because I still want to creep in there and I want to take over because I just did it again this morning. So I wanted my husband to see, boy, you've really changed and that program has been great for you. You know what? He accepted me just the way I was all those years. He was not finding fault with me and tearing me apart like I was doing him and wanting me to be different. He loved me all the time, even if I wasn't doing what he wanted. What a testament to see that. And as I celebrate my 82nd birthday today, I am living a life beyond anything I could have imagined. And the only reason for that is because I keep inviting God to take over and make me who he created me to be, and then I'm happy. So with that, I pass.
Well, happy birthday, Karen, and thank you so much for your share. Melka S., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy B. Star 1, Melka.
Hi, this is Malka S. I live in Mexico. I'm gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph is exactly what I needed to read today. I feel like I took a little hiatus last week, and I'm kind of like coming back into my routine and my program, and I have noticed like this part where it says, sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. And for me, that is literally like the epitome of diet mentality as it comes to food. Because the truth is like and for me, as many compulsive overeaters can relate, that diets don't work. Diets just don't work for me. Because they've never worked for me in the past. I need the 12 steps. I need God in my life. But the truth is, for me, putting the food down is just the beginning, and then the real work begins. So this is just a really good reminder, because I keep testing the waters. I keep having this like buildup of emotions, which is really, really, it's like testing the waters. It's like, do I really have this? Am I really a compulsive overeater? Am I really, even after going through the steps and feeling recovered and feeling neutral, it's like you still get that sometimes. This is a really good reminder that this diet mentality does not work for me. And I really, really need, I like what the person said before me, I really need to invite God. I need to grow my God conscious. So that it's larger than this disease, so that I can really stick closely to this, to these ideas and these principles, and really, really apply them. And where it says passing all understanding is the patient, mothers and wives. And for me, this is I really think of my husband, but I really think of my kids, because I think that my this emotional buildup that I have, it comes out in my impatience with my kids and and they are amazing kids and I love them so much. And I make amends to them all the time because of my, that buildup. And so I am really, really grateful, beyond words grateful, to be able to share this morning. And that's all I'll share today. Thank you. I'll pass. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Malka S. from Mexico. Wendy B., it's your turn to share, followed by Audrey C.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, that same line, there's plenty we should do at home. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say the only thing he needs to do is keep sober. And in the following paragraph, he describes his attitude, comparing it to the farmer coming up out of the tornado, and, not seeing all the damage, only that the wind stopped blowing. And, as selfish addicts, we do a lot of damage in our relationships. A lot of times we see the other people in our lives as not as important and expendable. And, when our first love is a substance, other things take a back seat and we step on their toes and we hurt feelings in the course of, making a priority on getting our needs met. And, it's taken an act of God, through this program to help self-focus to caring about others, to try to understand their perspective and to see it as valuable. And, and it's a lot of work to make right all the relationships in our lives. In my situation, I married my second husband while I was in my disease, and he was acting like a compulsive eater too. And it felt comfortable and compatible at the time, but me coming into program, changing how I eat and how I prioritize life, has caused havoc. He isn't interested in doing the work, to become disciplined and healthy. And, and we don't have common goals, so I get to just practice living in harmony with another one of God's kids, and to work through our differences with compassion and understanding, and and focus on the things we still do have in common, our common interests, and detach from all the choices he makes that, you know, I have no control over anyway. And, you know, I get to just love another person just how they present themselves. And I need God's help to be able to do that. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Audrey C., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Good morning. This is Audrey C. in Virginia, recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. This passage, it reminds me that even if I don't have others outside of my house to help, I still have to look within myself and work on me and my own thoughts and actions and to see where I can make positive changes. I didn't have, you know, affairs or anything on with my husband, but I was so checked out and angry all the time at him and at my kids, and it was just, it was miserable. And it's no way to live. It was just going through the motions of living, not really living. I wasn't present with my family. And now I'm just working on being present, being a parent and a wife, and building our relationships, making amends, you know, when they come up with the help of God. And I'm just so grateful for this program and for this meeting. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Audrey C. from Virginia. So happy to have you share. Deborah G., would you share, followed by Nancy L.? Thank you.
Oh, hi. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to any newcomers on the line today. So glad that you're here. And yes, many things I can relate to. I am so grateful that I was able to make amends to my husband when he was alive. I did have affairs and he knew of them. And it was so freeing to be able to do that. It brought us closer. And also dry drunk. I've been dry drunk. Jeez, it's miserable. Suffering. Thank God I didn't go to my addiction and get all whacked out in that disease with using the substance. I was able to get that turned around pretty quickly. And so recently, I had a resentment with someone, and I took it to a 10-step and started doing the sick man's prayer. And you know what I got in that process of doing that 10-step? So I was doing the sick man's prayer every morning and every night with that person. But what came to me was to do it every time I thought about that person. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I find that when I do these spiritual actions, it keeps me connected to my divine loving power presence. And that's where I need to be in this present moment, connected to God, you know, and then bringing that love, you know, being that mind and those words and those actions of that divine loving power presence, and being loving and compassionate and kind and helpful and understanding, you know, all those things that I can work towards, have that intention to work towards. And what I'm finding is when I do those things, it takes me out of that place where I used to live with that suffering and that misery of, it's like my sponsor reminds me of this Native American tale. Do you want to feed the good wolf or the bad wolf? Starve the bad wolf. And I want to feed the good wolf. I want to bring that vibration up, that energy up, keep it up. And today I have these tools, these beautiful 12 steps to help me to do that. And I'm grateful for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Nancy L., it's your turn to share, followed by Amanda L., and may I just announce quickly what paragraph we're talking about. We're on page 82, that second paragraph. If we have no such complication through one paragraph ending, would have no homes, would perhaps be dead. We're talking about that paragraph today, and after Nancy and Amanda share, I'll be taking some more names. Go ahead, Nancy, please share with us.
Oh, thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, recovered food addict. Wow, this is a wonderful paragraph. Many of us would have no homes today, perhaps be dead. This reminds me of a passage that I read in my daily or quiet time. The wise woman encourages and builds up her family. A foolish woman over time will tear it down by her own hands. Oh my goodness, that was me. I didn't know what I didn't know, but one thing I did know in my addiction was everybody was miserable, and so was I. I had no idea that it was me that was instigating so much of the turmoil, you know, coming off a binge or getting ready to binge or hiding or stealing, and, you know, all this stuff took its toll on my family, and, we had two children, and there'd be times my husband would say, Nancy, I never know what I'm going to come home to, a happy wife or a witch. And, you know, he goes, I don't have two children. I have three, and you're the baby of all three. And, you know, all I would do is just pout and feel bad, or maybe I would cry, and, you know, but there was no change. Everything just stayed the same. And, you know, at five, he would get up at 5:30 to go to work, but at 11 o'clock the night before, I would hear him coming down the stairs, and I knew as fast as I could, I need to hide the food under the couch, because that was my time. It was Nancy's time to sit down and watch what she wanted on TV and eat what she wanted. After all, don't you know how hard I worked all day? But it was just tearing my family down. And I'm grateful to say that I have been abstinent a long, long time and in recovery. My children are grown. I wish, you know, I'm not supposed to regret the past, but I'm grateful that they speak to me. I'm very grateful for that. And that my husband is happy today and content. And one last thing is that on page 128, it says, giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle. And that's how I run my life today, with God's help in being a giver and a very loving wife to my family, to my husband. And thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Ah, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. Amanda L., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Amanda L. in Arizona. I just want to thank everybody who shares on these meetings. Normally, I'm driving to work at this time, so it's such a joy to be able to look at the big book and share, but I want to thank the people that are sharing so I have this to listen to as I go to work. You give me so much hope every day. So this paragraph really hits me because, you know, my disease is the problem of me, as one of my a fellow addict totally says, and I am a compulsive overeater, but it's the disease of me. I have done horrible things to my family. I've been abusive to my extended family. I've been abusive to my children, and I was so nice to the world. So I'm certainly not perfect in recovery, but that is one of the greatest gifts. It was wonderful to put the food down. And that's what I'd like to say to the newcomer. It was amazing to put the food down. And when I came into this program, I thought that was the only problem. And it wasn't my only problem. I was just terrible to my children, to my husband. And I'm so lucky I haven't lost all that. I mean, it's true. If I don't put the food down, I'm not going to have a home. But if I don't find emotional abstinence, I just don't have much of a life. And so I'm just so grateful to all of you. I'm so grateful to be sober and abstinent today. And I would just like to add, I really viewed myself as like the nicest person. And I was really, really nice to the outside world. But man, I was horrible to my family. And like I said, it's not like I'm perfect today, but when I make a mistake, I say an amends. Just like last night, I was talking to my nine-year-old, and I was apologizing to her, but I was giving her the worst apology because I had yelled at her. And then I said, let's redo this. Okay, instead of me telling you why I yelled at you and making it seem like your fault, let me take responsibility. And so I'm just so grateful I can act like an adult today. So thank you, iPad.
Thank you so much, Amanda L. from Arizona. We're talking about page 82, that second paragraph. If we have no such complication through one paragraph ending, would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead. And I'll now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Hillary B.
Hillary B.
Lorraine.
Lizon P.
Was it Lorraine? What was your initial, Lorraine?
M.
Lorraine M. And then I heard Lizon P. And who else? I have Hillary, Lorraine, and Lizon.
Maria P.
Maria T. And I'll take one more.
And Deb F.
Deb F?
Yes.
All right, perfect. Okay, Hillary B., please share with us, followed by Lorraine M.
Thank you, Dawn, so much. Hillary, compulsive overeater, recovered just for today in the state of California. Oh, my gosh. First of all, the reading that we've been doing for the past like couple weeks and the sharing, but especially the sharing you guys have given me as a gift today, showing me, reminding me I'm not alone in my difficulty getting along with my husband or any husband I happen to have, because this is not my first, and to know that it truly is necessary for me to learn, practice with God, how to love and accept another human being who is different from me. Because the whole world is made up of people different from me. Thank goodness. And although, along with my husband, other human beings and I have a lot in common. We have a lot of character defects we share, but we also are very different, a lot of us human beings, from each other. And if I criticize everyone who didn't think the way I think they should think, didn't act the way I think they should act, it's like, I'm being like a dictator. The worst dictator, demanding the world live up to my expectations. I cannot even live up to my own expectations. But it's not only that, it's a miserable way to live. It makes me miserable. It steals my own joy. When I'm judging myself, when I'm judging others, when I'm thinking other people are supposed to do what I do, how do I know what anyone else's path is in the divine world? How do I know what the divine force for good in this world expects or wants for other people? It takes everything in me to learn or to discern to the best of my ability what my higher power wants of me, and then to practice that. And it is truly a one day at a time practice. And I have to refresh the practice every single day. I don't change from day to day. I wake up the same person, and on a good day, I practice God's will, and I get to be different in the moment. I get to surrender to allow my higher power raise me up. I can't do it on my own. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you, Dawn, for timing and leading.
Thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. Lorraine M., it's your turn, followed by Lilan P.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lorraine M., compulsive overeater here in California. Thanks, everyone, for being here this morning and really starting my day. This is really speaking to me today because the relationships with my adult children, wow, I didn't come to program were adults, and it's been really hard. And I got to say, when you see all of those character defects in your children and knowing what you've done to them and how much you hurt them, that really hurts. But on the other side of it, my relationships with them are starting to grow. Not easy, but it takes a lot of work. And when I look at the last sentence, "Has this not been so, many of us would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead." So for me, that's a warning that I have to remember every day. And I look around at the people that are in my life, the people that are patient with me and loving with me, and realizing, oh my gosh, I can't believe they put up with me. Like, I need to be more kind to them and find those opportunities where I could be of service to them without them knowing. So I've been working on that, little things like the person that I live with, you know, cleaning up stuff and not saying anything. And probably that few weeks since I've been doing that, and they're actually now noticing and saying thank you. I don't want that person out of my life. I don't want to be alone and in that misery again, thinking that everyone's stupid and everyone else is wrong and that I'm right, and why can't anyone just be perfect? So I'm going to take this warning for me today, and I'm going to take the hope and the inspiration that you all have given me from sharing and knowing that I'm not alone in this journey. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lorraine M. Lilan P., it's your turn to share, followed by Maria T.
Thanks, Dawn. Lilan P., gratefully abstinent in Berlin, Germany, and please time me. I just want to stress how grateful I am to be abstinent now. My mother passed on January 30th. The memorial was February 23rd, and I'm here for all the feelings and all the rawness, and I'm so glad that I'm sober for it. And I love this paragraph because the hardest, the most important and the most complicated place for me has been working the program at home with my parents and my brother. I'm so grateful because even though I have my own illness and I couldn't be in San Francisco for any of this, I was present for my mother's death over an iPad, and I also could speak at the memorial over an iPad. And, you know, I always used to say, I will never be able to eulogize that woman. How can I eulogize that woman after what she did to me? And, you know, the past 6 years in which she's been sick, I just, the illness changed her also, but also, and also I just kept showing up and kept loving her, and I just did living amends over and over. And I'm so grateful for that because I have like 6 years of sweet, sweet memories, and I was able to speak at her memorial, to speak about that years, those years. And I worked this piece over, it ended up being very long, and I was working with my oldest and best program friend over and over on how to tell this story between me and my mother, and to God, to be true to God, to myself, to be true to my mother, to be true, and to be, to do it without ego. And yeah, my brain is kind of empty now, but mostly I feel like there's
a lot of beautiful openings from this death of my mother. And there's a huge deal of work for me to do with my father and my brother. And I feel like the three of us are all quite self-will run riot. But in these past 2 months, I just kept saying to myself, be the actor, don't be the director. Be the actor, don't be the director. So I'll pass. Thank you for all your shares.
Oh, thank you so much, Leland P. And our thoughts and prayers are with you. Sorry for your loss. Maria T., it's your turn to share, followed by Deb F.
Hi there, Dawn. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hmm?
Yeah. Thank you for your service today and everybody else that is doing service. Wow, what amazing shares and such a lot of hope. You know, I can tell you now through the progressiveness of my disease, I have had, you know, many tries at getting abstinent and had many periods of abstinence. But, you know, and then lost it again because I didn't really understand, you know, the reason why I'm doing the steps. You know, it was because of this buildup of emotions and, you know, I needed that I was powerless over and I needed to, you know, I needed to be able to work the steps to reduce that and to, because I didn't want to pick up the food as a result of that. And so of course, every time the emotions built up, then I would pick up the food again. And, but today I have a completely different understanding. And you know, the fact is that it's had such a massive effect on my close intimate relationships. You know, both my children don't speak to me. You know, I was always angry and screaming and shouting at them, and you know, because of that buildup of emotions. And I wish I knew what I know today. I really do. And I know I can't regret the past. All I can do is go forward. I'm abstinent. I'm recovered today by the grace of God, and I'm working this program like my like my ass is on fire. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there is nothing else for me. There is no other solution for me. And I listen to the shares and I hear such hope, and I hope that one day I can start to build relationships with my children again. You know, I'm starting to build up my relationship with my mother, and, you know, I've just got divorced. And I can see, you know, my part in it, and, you know, I just get so much hope from listening to people sharing and from the readings and in the big book. I just know that, you know, that I have a God who absolutely loves me and who wants the best for me. And all I need to do is to surrender to his will for me every single moment of every single day. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Maria T. Deb F., it's your turn to share. And then I'll take another name.
Hi, did you ask for Deb F.?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, hi, because I was unmuting when you were talking. Okay, this is such a good passage, especially the part, if we have no such complication, there is plenty we should do at home. And that's just kind of where it is for me. And especially in that 11-step nightly review where it says, is there anything I could have done better? I remember making outreach calls about that when I just go, I don't want to answer this. And, you know, it was like this one person said, yeah, I just took it out. And she had no problem with it, you know, but the more calls I made, the more I was cautioned about it. And, you know, it's like, it's just because I have a disease that says, no, you don't, you're just fine. Look at you now. You're a normal weight. You are, you know, you're able to be abstinent. You're able to be reasonably calm most of the time. You're able to this, da 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 da. And, like, just putting my own self-righteousness up there, like, okay, I've arrived, you know. And yesterday I had a friend over, and it's somebody I've prayed for. It's really sounds, you know, kind of wild, but she has some of my character defects, and they were extremely, was like, you know, have a partner in crime right there, you know, telling me how she managed her husband's weight and managed to, you know, handle everything and blah, 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 blah. But now he doesn't want it anymore. And I'm going, yeah, because you're using outside pressure on him. It's not coming from him, you know, if it's, you know, anyway. But just being around it for a while, and I'm just was telling her, well, here's what I do, you know, but it was still very hard. And I'm going like, ooh, you know, seeing what it's like in somebody else, what I have, I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, and so it was very eye-opening, and I'm so grateful for this new friend because she showed me what it's like with me on others. And so what did I do? Turn around, and I wanted to start managing my husband, and that just doesn't go over at all, zero zilch, you know, because that doesn't allow for him to be freely himself, nor does it allow me, because then I'm playing the role of God, you know, and so I just have to turn it over and go, okay, how can I be helpful here? Just like I heard another share, and that is the caveat right there. How can I be helpful? And please, God, take this from me, my character defect of trying to fix, manage, and control somebody else so I can feel okay.
Time.
Thank you so much, and I will pass.
Thank you, Deb F., for your share. Is there someone who would like to take like a minute and a half share?
Yes, this is Liz S.
Liz S., where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Oregon.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Go ahead and share with us, please.
Thank you. Liz S., recovered compulsive eater. One of the previous shares sparked in me a realization that if I'm judgmental about other people, I'm creating a divide between myself and them. And I'm creating a situation which is just untenable for a long period of time or even a period of time. I'm not doing God's will. There's no place in my 11th step nightly review where it says, did you interfere with other people's business today? There's no place where it says, you know, did you focus on yourself only and mean it in a positive way? I just want to say that the more connections I look for, the more connections I find, and the more connections I can bring to my home life. Thank you very much for letting me share, and I passed.
Oh, thank you so much, Liz S. from Oregon, and thank you to everyone who shared. Making this
quick question, please. May I have this quick question? What is the pages we were reading just now? I'm so sorry.
No worries. Page 82, that second paragraph, if we have no such complication through one paragraph ending, would have no homes today, would perhaps be dead.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to everyone who shared. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, everybody, for a great meeting. I'm Luann C., gratefully recovered today in Boise, Idaho. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.